obviously haunted.
Obviously.
What was I talking about? Oh, hi, Allie.
Hey, dude.
How's it going?
It is going pretty well. It is nice to see your face, yes.
Aww. It's late, huh?
10:45.
That's late. It's not that late here. I'm probably going to, like, get drunk and watch TV after this.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to be drunk and go to bed.
All right, cool. You can do like I do. I listen to true crime podcasts when I'm going to sleep.
I do that more when I'm, like, napping, but I'm worried that I might creep myself out a little bit more when I do it at night.
Yeah.
Before I go to bed. I mean, I used to listen to them all the time, and then we got broken into 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And after that, I had, like, a moment where I was like, true crime just became way too real.
Oh, no. That's true, though. No, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Sometimes when stuff is, when it hits too close to home, like, I have to, I can't sleep afterwards, and I have to, like, put something else on.
Yeah. Yeah, it messed with me for a little while. Just the fact that you really can't trust anyone.
Yeah.
And you never know. When you never know. It's like I went to work like a normal day and I come home and my house was broken into. They took a bunch of stuff. I don't know. It's just,
that's totally messed up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
And the police gave me a call and they were like, oh, I'm sorry. We couldn't find anything. So there's really not a lot that we can do.
And you're like, great.
Okay. Awesome.
It sucks. What do you even do after that? Like, you have the choice. You can, like, move, but do you even have anywhere that you can move and get a dog?
No, I mean, we can't afford that. We've talked about that, but we're not technically allowed to have any pets.
Oh.
But we, I don't know, you just kind of have to grieve it away.
Yeah.
Like, you have to just accept it. It's like, I'm never going to see my husband's wedding ring gone, right? And his computer. I mean, I think he's probably happy now because he just ordered a new computer. I'm not rich or anything, but for Christmas, I had my parents and my husband's parents and me and my husband all pitch in to get my stepdaughter an iPad for Christmas with an iPencil so that she could do drawing and do art. And that was taken. It's gone.
It's so upsetting. And what a hard lesson,
too. It is
too.
So upsetting. Yeah.
And that's, it's almost, it's the worst. Like, it would be one thing if y'all had some money or whatever and you could afford to get stuff like that for your kids. But the fact that you all pitched in too, like, that makes it so much worse.
Yeah. That was literally the only gift that we gave her.
Because that's all, yeah.
That's all we had.
That's so hard.
Yeah. No. Nah, she's good. She's stealing mine now.
Yeah. I guess that works. So we are on episode 3 of our bonus Epidemic Ghosts series.
Bonus.
What did you just sing? Did you just give us a little theme song?
Bonus.
Bonus episode. Oh, no. We're going to be loopy. So this is episode 3. I think this is going to hit a good space for you because you were asking for more specific haunting.
Mm.
And I have got a more specific haunting for you.
Nice.
It is.
And in New York City?
It is in New York
City. I've been there.
I've also been there.
I have a cousin that lives there.
Awesome. Well, this is actually about North Brother Island. Sort of. Have you heard of, it's like, have you been to Rikers? Did you go on, like, the Rikers tour or, like, you've seen Rikers or?
No.
I don't think you can go on a tour of Rikers because they still, like, totally use that as a prison, right? I'm thinking of Alcatraz.
I'm just going to smile and nod here.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I went to a speakeasy tour in New York City. That's about it.
Totally the same thing. Completely the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this kind of happens all over New York, so that's a thing. Because we are talking epidemic ghosts, obviously I couldn't give you just a straightforward, here's a haunted place. I had to give you the story of a specific human being. But before we get there, I'm Becky.
And I'm Allie.
And New York, New York is Obviously haunted.
We still suck at that.
Okay. It's obviously haunted. All right. Yeah. New York. Today we are talking about the illustrious, the infamous, the infectious Mary Mallon, otherwise known as Typhoid Mary.
Oh, no. I've heard of that girl.
Yeah.
I've heard of her.
This story is crazy. And it's a little, okay, it's a nuts story. Let's just get into it. First, typhoid fever, I had no idea. I knew that it was, like, that there were some outbreaks of it. And I guess I'm really kind of pushing this as an epidemic. This was more of an outbreak than an epidemic, I think. But there was a period of time in the early 20th century where, particularly along the East Coast, there were like several outbreaks in different areas of typhoid fever. And I had no idea what it was. I always sort of thought it was, you know, like the flu or whatever, that it was, oh, you cough and you have fever and blah, blah, blah. It is not. Mm-hmm. It is gross. It is an intestinal infection.
Ew.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually caused by a strain of the Salmonella virus. Virus? Bacteria? Salmonella, whatever it is.
That one, yep.
Yeah. So it's spread by eating or drinking contaminated food and beverage. And I don't know if you know what it's contaminated with, but I'll tell you, it's contaminated with poop.
Gross. Nice.
So if you eat or drink something that has the salmonella in it, then you get sick and it causes a fever. It also causes like a really gnarly red rash and serious abdominal pain and like bloating and distension. So your belly just gets like really huge and, you know, hard and gross.
Ouch.
And it causes internal bleeding and then death.
Wow. Do you think that the talk of Bloody Mary is talking about Typhoid Mary?
I just listened to a podcast about Bloody Mary. Oh, it was the Morbid Podcast. Morbid Podcast did a whole episode that was like demon games that will literally ruin your life or something.
Yeah, no, I just listened to that, but they didn't do one on
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary, did they?
Yeah, the last one was.
Maybe I didn't listen to the last one.
And she said something that, like, there were a few different theories about where it came from, but I don't think any of them was Typhoid Mary. I don't remember.
Oh, man, did you listen to the one about, like, playing hide-and-go-seek with one of your stuffed animals?
Yeah, nope. No, thank you.
Right?
Not doing it.
Yeah.
Never, ever.
No.
Morbid were your biggest fans. I mean, probably not. You probably have, like, crazy super fans, but also us. Okay. So back to Typhoid Mary. Oh, speaking of other podcasts that I freaking adore, one of my references for this episode is absolutely My Favorite Murder.
Yeah.
Because they did an episode that I think it was Georgia did, Typhoid Mary, and it was crazy. It was really good. Okay. So, because typhoid is spread through contamination, like it's spread through contaminated food and everything, it was considered to be a disease of the poor. Like the rich just weren't really worried about it. Rich people, they're like, oh, like we can wash our hands whenever we want. All of our food is carefully prepared and we go to the bathroom inside or whatever. Poor people, especially poor people in big cities, they lived in cramped quarters, they had limited sanitation, and they shared unclean water sources. And all of those things led to outbreaks in the poorest neighborhoods in big cities. So multiple members of families would get sick and stuff like that. So in the early 20th century, suddenly there were a bunch of outbreaks in sort of the upper echelons of society, like a bunch of rich families were starting to get sick. This was actually happening in a lot of different places, in like not just in the U.S. We're talking about in the U.S. I was reading about typhoid fever, and one of the things said one of the biggest outbreaks was actually in England, and it was amongst only the upper class. And it turned out that there was like a bed of oysters that people were fishing out of that was being contaminated with raw sewage.
Oh no!
And then people were like eating their raw oysters and getting typhoid fever.
That's disgusting. Wow.
This whole episode is just going to be an episode of me laughing about poop jokes.
Wow. That is disgusting. Oh my God. I don't eat seafood. Nope.
Yum. Raw oysters. They're actually delicious. Okay. I mean, I don't think I've ever had a poop one, but.
I don't know.
So, you know, the way that it works in the world, once rich people started getting it, suddenly doctors started paying attention. We start getting records and stuff like that. And then everyone's like, oh, it's an epidemic. When it's just poor people, no one cares. Everybody who's rich is getting it. Suddenly it's a terrible thing.
It's awful.
So here comes Mary Mallon. Mary Mallon was an Irish immigrant in the U.S. who was not educated and was working in the easiest field for a lot of people to get into, which was in the service field. And she started out, you know, just like everybody else, working like as a maid and stuff like that. But it turned out that she was a good cook. And so she started to have a reputation for being a good cook, and she got hired in better and better houses, and she made good money. So it was actually a really good way to make a living, to be a cook in these, like, big family homes, and, like, particularly in vacation homes by the ocean and stuff like that. I lost my spot. So suddenly, mysteriously, after having cooked for a while, several of the different homes that she had been hired in developed outbreaks of typhoid fever with different members of the family and, like, friends of theirs and things getting sick at the same time. And that would happen in a home. And then Mary, who never got sick, would be like, oh, I guess y'all don't need a cook anymore, and would move on to another home. And, like, a bunch of people in that family would get sick.
Oh.
And then she would just move on to another home.
Oh, no.
And a bunch of people in that family would get sick. And there are records of Mary being given essentially bonuses and glowing letters of recommendation for acting as a nursemaid when families would get sick. She would care for them.
Oh, no. Do you think she knew that she was the one getting them sick?
Oh, we'll get to it. We will get to it.
Oh, no.
Okay. So it's 1907, and this doctor tracks Mary down and basically says, man, it's a big coincidence that all these people got sick in this one house, and here's the cook. So I'm going to go talk to the cook and see if the cook has typhoid fever. And she was tracked down and identified as, like, the common factor in 7 different outbreaks in the New York area.
Yeah.
And the doctor came in and was like, hey, can I just, you know, can I just, like, have a little bit of your urine, a little bit of your poop, like, a little, I just want to test you out. And she was like, I'll fucking cut you. Like, she was not having it. She was not interested. And she denied it. She said, I've never been sick. It's not me. I don't know what you're talking about. You fuck right off.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory was that Mary had not been washing her hands, like, didn't wash her hands while she was preparing food. So she'd go to the restroom and then continue to prepare a meal for a family that she was contaminating because she was carrying the virus. She insisted, well, that doesn't even make any sense because I've never been sick, and also I cook all the food, and so that would kill the virus. So it turns out that Mary had a specialty dessert that she would cook for rich families. And that specialty dessert was ice cream with freshly sliced peaches. So she was basically cutting those peaches up with her bathroom hands.
Poopy hands.
Oh, no. And then putting them in that delicious ice cream. And then just infecting whole families with typhoid.
Wow. On purpose?
No. No. Out of willful ignorance. So she's arrested eventually. They decide, you know, if you're not going to voluntarily quarantine yourself, then we're going to quarantine you for you or for us. And so they arrest her and they quarantine her on North Brother Island. But she was not having it. She found people to support her and pay for her lawyers and things like that. And she fought. She, like, took the government to court to say, you can't keep me here. I'm not going to be quarantined on this island. I've never been sick. I don't have this illness. How am I? You're only keeping me here because I'm poor and you just want to blame this on me. And she didn't exactly win. They kept her there for like 3 years. Even as she insisted, she'd never given it to anyone. It wasn't her. You know, she was being unfairly treated, especially in the press. She was very upset that because her name got out really early and that moniker of Typhoid Mary, that was like she was cyberbullied before there was cyberbullying. Because there were all kinds of illustrations and things of her where there's a really famous one of her cracking eggs, but they're not eggs, they're little skulls, like going into the pan.
Oh, no. Awful. Creative.
She did not like that. And after about 3 years, she tested negative for typhoid. And so they said, okay, you've tested negative, because they tested her and she absolutely had it. She was like, I don't have it. I'm not sick. They were like, except that you do, because science. And she said, no. So they said, okay, you've tested negative, but we're pretty sure that the reason that you're not sick, but that you're giving it to other people, is that it's living in your gallbladder. So let us take out your gallbladder and then you can just go about your life.
Oh.
And she's like, stay away from me, you crazy butchers.
Wow.
Don't get your knives anywhere near me. She said, absolutely not. You can't, like, force someone to give up their gallbladder. So I said, all right, fine. You just have to wash your hands. Just wash your hands.
Don't touch your face. No, just wash your
hands. don't touch your face. Wash your hands and don't touch your face. She said, I will absolutely not wash my hands while I'm preparing food. I have never washed my hands while I was preparing food. I will not wash my hands. I refuse.
What?
That's not how things are done. I do not understand this. Ooh. This is the part of the story that I don't understand. What's wrong with washing your hands?
Yeah. I guess she just doesn't like it when people tell her what to do. You know, it's like my husband's. It's like he will wash his hands when he wants to. But if you tell him to, no, he ain't washing his hands.
I feel like that's me and social distancing. Like, not that I'm not doing it, because I absolutely am. But it's like I'm an introvert all the time and I never want to go out or do anything. But now that I'm forced to stay inside, I'm like, man, I just want to have a party.
I know. I feel you. I know Willow's like, Mom, let's go to a trampoline park. And I'm like, sorry, honey, we can't. She's like, but I really want to go.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, babe.
I actually do too. Oh, crap. I can't do it. So she refuses to wash her hands. So they're like, all right, we're going to let you out, but just like, don't be a cook anymore. You can't be a cook anymore. She said, right. All right. Sure. I'm not going to be a cook anymore. So she gets out. She gets a job as a laundry person in a hotel. Doesn't pay very well. So guess what she starts doing?
Cooking.
Oh, yeah. Guess what happens at that hotel?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
A whole hotel?
Yeah, I mean, not the whole hotel, but like a lot of people at the hotel got sick.
Wow. Damn, girl.
So she gets out. She goes, she starts working as a cook almost immediately, but she's on the lam. She's changed her name. She's running from the government. She doesn't want to go back into quarantine. So she will work somewhere for a little while and then she'll move on. So by the time they figure out that there's been an outbreak in this particular spot, she's peaced out. She even worked as a cook at a women's maternity hospital.
Ugh. Wow.
I know.
That woman, she must be like serial killer. Like that's creepy. And are these people dying? Like, you're saying that they're getting sick, but is it like they're sick and dying?
So, okay. Over the course of all of this, over the course of everything, it says that she's responsible for about 53 infections and only 3 deaths. So that's not, I mean, 3 deaths is still like, that would still get you put in jail forever if you did it on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, you killed 3 people with a knife. You're going to jail forever. But it's really hard to say. I think it's – if she knew that what she was doing was going to get people killed and she did it anyway, then, yeah, she's obviously got issues. But it's really possible that she just was that stubborn that she refused to believe in, like, science. You know, doctors are full of shit and I don't have to do what they say because they're clearly wrong because I've never been sick.
Yeah, but it's like, well, that could be the truth, but man, maybe I'll think about washing my hands just in case, you know? Come right. on, lady. Yeah. Just wash your damn
hands. Just wash your hands. I know, like, and not only that, but, like, if you'd washed your hands, you never would have gotten caught. So she, eventually she gets arrested again. And she gets arrested again because, you know, not only is she causing more outbreaks of typhoid fever, but she's doing it under an assumed name against the orders of her being released from quarantine in the first place. So they ship her back to North Brother Island, and she lives the rest of her life on North Brother Island in isolation, in a hut on the island. And this is, and I'm going to talk about North Brother Island in a second, but she died of pneumonia at age 69. Huh. And they found live typhoid bacteria in her gallbladder. So you remember when I was like, the doctors were like, we think it's in your gallbladder. You should just let us take your gallbladder out. Yeah. She should have just let them take her gallbladder out.
Wow.
Because they were absolutely right. It was living in her gallbladder until she was 69. So that's nuts.
And that's just like, there's just one person that caused typhoid fever?
No, I mean.
Or no, it happened in Europe as well. But she was like a carrier in that area and other people. Whoa, that's weird.
Apparently there were other carriers and even other carriers who, you know, by accounts, infected more people than Typhoid Mary. So it is possible that she was a little bit mistreated because she was Irish and because she was poor and whatever. And that it is a little bit lame that she's the only one that we think of, you know. But she did just, she just needed to wash her hands.
I hope her food tasted good.
Oh, I think it did. I mean, she got hired a lot, so it must have tasted delicious, right?
But yeah, well, that's good. At least, you know, they had a good meal before they got super sick.
Right? Ooh, it was worth it. Those peaches were delicious.
It wasn't like, hey, let's pop open a can of SpaghettiOs and, right? and then you get sick. And...
No. Okay. So the reason none of that was a ghost story, but here's sort of the ghost story. And I'm gonna post pictures of North Brother Island because right now it's obviously haunted. North Brother Island is in the East River. It's between Rikers and the Bronx. So Rikers Island is where the big prison is, and I think it's still a functional prison. And you know what the Bronx is. So there are two of these little sort of neighborhood-sized islands. One of them's North Brother Island, one of them's South Brother Island. And the Riverside Hospital was moved to North Brother Island in 1885 specifically for the isolation of quarantinable diseases. So there was a hospital there, and there were a lot of highly infectious diseases that when these outbreaks started to happen in New York, what they would do is like ship all of these people to this island in the East River and say, like, you stay there, quarantine, you know, whatever you need to do. So we're talking about like smallpox and tuberculosis and, you know, all of these, probably Spanish flu, all of these different sort of diseases that you could just separate somebody and say, like, don't get anybody else sick.
Yeah.
The hospital closed a little bit after Mary Mallon's death. So she was there all the way, and it's said that she actually even, like, worked there. So she was maybe not even in complete isolation. Like, she probably did come into contact with other people, but she lived there on the island. She had, like, a little hut. They actually demolished the hut after she passed away because they thought it would be too dangerous to put anybody else in that space. And then very shortly after that, the hospital closed. But the island has a really tragic past anyway, because after that, after it was this quarantine hospital, it was a weird little neighborhood community for World War II vets for a minute. Like, people who came back from World War II who were going to colleges in the area, they would give them affordable housing on this little island in the East River that used to have a giant hospital.
That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird. So that only happened for a minute. And then in the 1950s, they took, like, the hospital buildings and stuff and built some other buildings and created a rehab center for teenagers.
Rehab for what? Like, drugs? Mm-hmm. And okay.
Drugs, alcohol, I don't know, probably being gay. I like, whatever, whatever you sent kids to rehab for in the 50s.
Yeah.
But apparently it was, like, pretty brutal. The stories about it are that... And if you look it up, I'll post some stuff. But if you look it up, there are pictures of the inside of the hospital and stuff. And it's completely, the buildings are all still there, but it's completely overrun with greenery and trees. And it, like, looks completely abandoned because it's been abandoned for decades. And there's graffiti, but not new graffiti. That's stuff like, please save me, like, I'm here against my will, and stuff like that, that was from the time of the rehab center. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was not hippies holding hands and, like, nursing each other back to health or whatever. It was like, we're gonna beat the heroin out of you.
Wow.
So that's kind of messed up. But now it's a bird sanctuary.
Oh, that's crazy.
So it's been returned to nature.
The pictures are amazing.
Yeah, it's really, it's a kind of a beautiful and haunting space, really.
Yeah.
Kind of sticks in your mind. So one of the articles that I read about it said that people experience all kinds of paranormal phenomenon there. So they, obviously there are people who have gone out there to do investigations and have gotten EVPs and stuff like that. But there are also people who have just gone out there to, like, explore and have been pushed or pulled or, you know, hit or scratched. Lots of touchy ghosts on North Brother Island.
In the hospital or just on the island?
In the hospital. And
in the hospital.
Specifically, during the time that it was a drug treatment facility in the 1950s, there are orderlies and nurses who reported to have seen a woman walking the halls of the hospital building, the Riverside Hospital building, the original building.
Mm-hmm.
So people think that that's the ghost of Mary Mallon, who's in quarantine for the rest of eternity.
Whoa.
Probably still not washing her hands.
I wonder if there were any of the teenagers that had to go through all of the rehab stuff, if they had to deal with any hauntings or anything like that.
Oh, of course. I'm sure. Because if nothing else, like, quarantine hospitals and, like, hospitals that deal with these horrible infectious diseases, they are always haunted. They always end up haunted, you know? You get all kinds of things, like people who say they see patients or nurses or whatever wandering the halls of these places. So you've already got that. And then you have to wonder, if they're trying to rebuild this into some kind of, like, housing community, why didn't that last? Why did that only happen for a couple of years?
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, that's terrifying.
So I would imagine... And also, they haven't done anything. Like, the part that's so creepy is that it's not like they've knocked down buildings. They haven't done anything with it, and you're not allowed to go out there. So, like, if we wanted to go to North Brother Island, we would have to, like, get arrested and go to Rikers and then break out of Rikers and then, like, swim in the river. I don't actually think that would work.
I'm not a good swimmer.
But we would definitely have to be really sneaky. Get a boat, canoe.
That's crazy. I wonder if there are, like, underground experimental things happening there.
Like right now?
I don't know. Yeah, right now.
All of the teens from the 1950s are actually still there. The doctors experimented on them and then hid them underground. And when they turned it into a bird sanctuary, what it really is a secret government lab.
No.
For super soldiers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did I just come up with the best movie ever?
Yes. super soldiers from Brother Island.
Brothers of North Brother Island.
But it makes me think, about, like, I have a friend who is in the hospitality business, and she's a hotel manager, right? And they were recently going to open a brand new hotel in a nearby city. And because of all of the COVID-19 stuff happening around, they decided not to open it, but they offered it up to the hospital to be used if they needed the space.
Okay.
So can you imagine staying at a hotel years from now, knowing
it used to be
that it was a hospital space for a pandemic?
I think,
like, that,
even if it wasn't haunted,
I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing that they're offering the space. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, but I think about it in the future and I'm like, I don't want to stay there. Right?
There's a place here in Arizona that we should do an episode about, but that, like, used to be a hospital and is now a hotel, and is, they, like, bank on being haunted. Like, they advertise it. I think that even if you went into that space without any, what am I trying to say? Like, even if there weren't any ghosts or any spirits at all, like, you might still experience creepy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're in that mindset of, like, horrible stuff happened here, you know?
Right.
Ugh.
Right.
Ugh.
That was a good story. I liked the New York story. It was good.
It was – I saved the best one for last, I think. Because I have been talking about how I'm Typhoid Mary for the last – because I came back – we moved Lex out to L.A. And I came back from L.A. to be here, and we're going to be separated for a while, but I got back, like, right when this was starting, like, right at the beginning of, like, starting to shut things down, and it was during my spring break, and students were, like, not coming back, and all the toilet paper was gone off the shelves. I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. But as soon as it was kind of, oh, like, LA is kind of an epicenter and it's really, everyone's freaking out there, and I had just gotten back from there, and I thought, okay, if anyone here is infected, it's gonna be me, you know, and I can't not go to work. Like, they need me to be there.
Well, and you refuse to wash your hands.
And I never wash my hands, and I just poop all over everything. No, I'm washing my hands a lot. I actually am washing my hands so freaking much. I have some of that, like, you know, that stuff that you use, like, if you're a car mechanic or whatever, that's like the, I already was using that stuff because paper, for anyone who works with paper on a regular basis, paper just sucks the moisture right out of your skin. But
yeah, it's like working with clay.
Yeah. Or yarn, or, like, I don't know. But it, so I already used that, like, O'Keefe's, you know, working hands stuff. And now I put it on multiple times a day because I'm washing my hands, like, 20 times a day. Like, any time I interact with anybody, I'm like, I'm covered in COVID-19. I just have to scrub my entire body. I feel like right now my voice is really weird and raspy. And it's because the stuff that I'm spraying, I clean all of the door handles and stuff three times a day. And the stuff that they gave me to spray that kills everything, it's like you wipe it.
I'm breathing it in.
And by the end of the day, my throat is, like, burning. And I can tell it's the spray.
Not good.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
It's probably not
well,
good.
I'm killing all the things as I inhale this horrible, the fumes of this stuff. No, it's the good stuff. It makes me
give yourself lung cancer.
Oh, I hope not. So, but that's it. Okay. So those were our, that was our bonus epidemic ghosts.
Woohoo, bonus!
So, thank you, Allie, for doing bonus episodes with me.
Thank you, Becky, for doing all of the research.
Oh, well, you know, I love it. So, everyone listening, remember to subscribe to the podcast and get ready for season 2 coming up in August. And rate and review, please, especially on iTunes, because it really helps people find our podcast. And check us out on social media. All of the links are on obviouslyhaunted.com. Also, I'm posting blog posts in between seasons. So if you want to know what haunted house movies I really think you should stream while you're in self-quarantine, check that out.
And send us your stories.
Send us your spooky stories at obviouslyhauntedpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. So remember, New York, New York is obviously haunted.
Haunted.
Let's just try it again. Let's just say obviously haunted. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Obviously haunted.
I think that
we're gonna get it.
No, I thought that was better.
It was better.